Because in it is God's wisdom. It's God's love for you. It is God's guidance from where you are to where God can take you. The Bible says, for those who love God, the things that He has for us, you haven't even thought about yet. Unimaginable where God wants to take you. It's all in here. You know, if everyone on earth lived according to this book, there'll be very little trouble. And if trouble does come, it will lead you right out of it. There'll be no brokenness. There'll be no hatred. There'll be no broken marriages and strife. There'll be no bankruptcies. There'll be no lasting sickness. There'll be no runaway children. It'll just be a blessing. If everyone lived according to this. And all of it, not selective parts, of course. All the counsel of God is what we need. I want to talk with us this morning about the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I want us to go in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. And this is just after the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost. And when He came in, like a rushing mighty wind, and filled the whole house where the people were sitting, and then, He came with fire. And tongues of fire appeared above everyone, and they started speaking with tongues. And so people that were outside were looking in, and they didn't know what was going on. And then Peter stood up, and what do you know, for the first time, he spoke sense. When the Holy Spirit came upon him, the one that always had his foot in his mouth started speaking sense. Revelation just flowed out of him. And people came and said, what shall we do? What shall we do? And there in verse 38, Acts 2, verse 38, then Peter said to them, repent. That means change your thinking. Change your thinking. Repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift. Everybody says the gift. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now you know that gift comes from God. It's not a gift from man. Years ago, when we still lived in Belgium, I sent to the Queen. Belgium is a kingdom. I sent to the Queen a videotape of one of your services in South Africa. And she wrote back to me and thanked me for it. And I still have that letter. Why do I keep that letter? Because it came from someone special. I received many letters through the years, but that one I kept. The others maybe disappeared, but that one I kept. Why? Because it came from somebody special. So there's more value to it. Now, if you, I remember when I worked in the bank around Christmas time, clients brought us some gifts, and there's all kinds of stuff that they brought us. Maybe you find the same where you work. People bring you gifts. It is just to make sure, you know, it's you keep the relationship going and all of that and so on. And sometimes you look at that and you say, well, I don't really want that and I don't really care about it. So you get rid of it. Sometimes people re-gift things. They just give it away because they don't want it, mainly because they don't really care about the person that gave it to them. But now, when God gives you a gift, it is more than that letter that I got from the Queen. You want to appreciate that. That's something that you want to appreciate. It's not something that you can say, well, that's not really something that I want. Or, I don't think I need that. Because it comes from God Himself, it means something to us, and it's very, very special. Something that you want to cherish. Something that you want to keep. and something that you want to continue to appreciate. Don't put it in a cupboard somewhere or in a cabinet, forget about it. You know, when people come, you want to say, well, you know what? Look at this letter that the Queen wrote me. It's on royal stationery. People love to, and I see nowadays on Twitter and Facebook and social media, they like to post pictures where they stand with somebody special, the mayor or the prime minister or the president, whoever, or a big sports figure or so on. They want to show I stood with them. How many of you know that former prime minister of Israel passed away this week? And what do you know? The picture started coming up. There's Billy Brim with Mr. Sharon in a picture. She stood with him and she wants people because it means something to her. Now, God gave us a gift. God gave us a gift. And Peter says, this gift, he says in verse 39, for the promise is to you. Promise is to you. It's not to the one next to you or to someone else. That promise is to you and to those who are afar off. Well, I guess that's us, right? We were not there when he spoke, but we were afar off then. Now we've come close. That gift is to us. And it says, and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Now, I believe that the fact that you sit here is because God called you. He called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So you're called. You're not here by accident. And you're not by accident in the kingdom of God. You're not by accident. You're not a disciple by accident. You are a disciple. You are a follower of Jesus because he called you. Amen. And so he has a gift, a promise of a gift for you. Every one of us. Now, I know many of us already received that gift. I don't know how many of us still appreciate that gift and look at it almost daily because it came from someone so special that you want to put it on display so everybody can see, God gave me a gift. It's a very special gift. Now, when God gives you a gift, it is not really to make you look good. It is for you to use. We have a name that I won't call that. We heard it from people of another language. When someone gives them a gift that they don't really want, they call it a certain name, which I don't think is good to speak from a pulpit. But it is something that you hide somewhere because you don't really use it. But if somebody gives you a gift that you can use, and somebody very special, you're going to use that thing every day. And every time you use it, you think, boy, that person blessed me with this gift. And so God gave us this gift of the Holy Spirit because he wants us to use it. He wants us to appreciate it and put it to use. He wants us to use that gift for the purpose that it was intended. Not to put on a shelf, but to use. And so when God gives us a gift, you can bet your last penny on it that that gift has a purpose for your life. There's purpose for it. And this it's something that you can put to use and must put to use. Now let's go to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19 and verse 1. Acts 19 and verse 1. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus and finding some disciples. Now, who is a disciple? A disciple is a follower of Jesus. He's a follower of Jesus. So these people already met him. Now, the interesting thing is, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, says nobody can call him Lord without the Holy Spirit. So these people already had an experience with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit already indicated to them that Jesus is the Lord. He's the Messiah. He's the Christ. He's the one to follow. And they heeded the voice of the Holy Spirit, and they became disciples. So they already had an experience with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit spoke to their hearts. John says that the Holy Spirit's the one that convicts us. He brings a conviction upon our heart that we know Jesus is the Lord. He's the one that's going to come. He's the Messiah. He's the Son of God. He's the Christ, the Anointed One. The Holy Spirit convicts us. And the next step after that, if you're obedient, is you'll follow him. And so they followed him and they became disciples. So now an interesting thing happens here. Verse 2 says, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Now, either that's a contradiction of some kind, or Paul meant something else. Well, for you to become a disciple, you already have to have listened to the Holy Spirit's voice and responded to it. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And that's a question that we need to ask ourselves also. Did I receive the Holy Spirit when I believed? And some people say, yes, I have the Holy Spirit because I'm a believer. Well, it seems to me that there's something else than that. There's something else than that initial contact, that initial prompting of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. There's something else that Paul is talking about here. So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. They never knew. He spoke to them. They didn't know it was him that spoke to them. They didn't know that. They just had this conviction in their heart that Jesus is the Christ. He's the Messiah. And they responded to it. But they never heard. Nobody told them there was the Holy Spirit. Nobody knew. Nobody told them. They didn't know. Then he came the question, and he said to them, into what then were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism. Now, why did he ask that question? So because when you're baptized, we baptized people. We usually go like this. I baptize you upon your own request, because we can't force people to be baptized. We baptize you upon your own request in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So at least they should have heard at their baptism that there is a Holy Spirit. How many of you can remember that you heard that when you were baptized? Right. So when you were baptized, you should have heard the name of the Holy Spirit. That's why he asked the question. Verse 4. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. So the baptism of John was not the same as the baptism of Jesus. The baptism of John was just a repentance of sin. The baptism of Jesus, totally different. It's totally different. It is an acceptance of him as our Savior. Because we're baptized in his name. We're baptized in his name. We're baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And the word baptism in the Greek means to be immersed into. And that's an interesting term, because when we baptize people, we immerse them in the water. They're covered over. Because Romans chapter 6 says, baptism is a burial. You're buried because you died to your old self. You died. The old nature that ran after sin, just wanted to do sin, and just please yourself, and just be so self-centered and self-serving, that person died. And he's buried. And now you rise up a new person, born again. It's just an outward symbol of what happened on the inside. That's what baptism is. But it's that immersion. Now, when Paul says, we baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, it's also an immersion in him. That means I'm into him and he's in me. Jesus in John chapter 17, when he prayed his last prayer to the Father, and he prayed like this, he said that they may be one, just like we are one. And then he says, I in them and they in me. That sounds like a total immersion to me. That was the whole deal. That was the goal. That was the goal. That we'd be totally immersed in him. And that's why when he talks about this experience that Paul is talking about here, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is an immersion in him. He's all around me and in me, and he's all over me. That's the goal. And while these were good people, they were Christian people, they were followers of Jesus, but they lacked something. They lacked something. And so, verse 5, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, some people say, well, you're only baptized in the name of, and that's what they do when they baptize people. No, when they say we're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, it means his instruction. Because he said that we should baptize people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's the baptism of Jesus. And verse 6, and when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. They spoke with tongues and prophesied. When Paul laid hands on them, that promise that Peter spoke about there, that we just read in Acts chapter 2, was fulfilled, because it was a promise. Now, I know that when God makes a promise, he wants to fulfill it. Because he didn't make the promise under pressure. He made the promise because of his love for us. That's why he made the promise, because he loves us. He wants us to have the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It's his heart's desire. That's why he gave us the gift. It's a gift from his heart to us. He loves us. He wants us to have this gift. And so when these people realized, oh, God has a gift for us, they were ready to receive it. They were ready to receive it. And right away, when Paul laid hands on them, they received that gift. Now, the one thing about a gift is you don't have to work for it. Because if you worked for it, then it's pay. But you don't work for your gifts. It is just the goodness of God. And so when God gives you a gift, you don't have to qualify for it. You just have to take it. That's all you have to do. How many of you received Christmas gift this year? Did you work for it? Well, that's pay then. Well, then you got paid. But the gift that God has, Jesus paid for. We don't have to pay for it. He paid for it. That's his gift to us. And he wants us to have that gift. Now, when we say, I'm here for the promise, do you think God's going to say, well, you wait a while? You're not good enough yet. Because the moment if he would say that, that means you got to earn that. Right? But he's not going to say it because it's a promise. It's a promise. Do you know when people promise you something that you actually are going to look for it? And sometimes that promise goes nowhere. But God's not like that. No, when he says, I have a gift for you, the moment you come to get it, you get it. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to qualify for it. the only qualification, if I may put it like that, is you got to be one of his children. He gives gifts to his children. Peter said, those who are called out of darkness into his light, God's got a gift for you. He has a gift ready for you. It's all packaged and ready. All you need to do is come and get it. And that's as simple as that. I sometimes think the problem that people have, it is just too simple. It's so ingrained in us that we want to earn things. God says, you can't earn anything with me. It's all free because Jesus paid for it. Don't you try and work for it. You can't. It's free. All you have to do is take it. Amen. That's all you have to do. Just come and get it. Here it is. Come and get it. It's a gift. And so we don't work for it. We receive it. And the reason why Paul, when he met these Christians, it seems to me it was one of the first questions, if not the first one, is, have you received the Holy Spirit? Why would he ask that? Because they lacked something. There was something missing in their lives. Although they were good people, they were followers of Jesus, there was something missing. They never had the gift. They never went to receive the gift that he had for them. And so Paul laid hands on them, and sure enough, there was the gift delivered on the spot. On the spot. They didn't have to wait for it. Now, we don't have to wait for the Holy Spirit or for any of the gifts that God has for us. God's ready to give it. I mean, it's not that God says it's out of stock. It's on back order. You got to wait a few weeks. That's not the way it is with God. No, he is all ready to give it to you on the spot. You don't have to wait for it. You don't have to work for it. All you need to do is come get it. I didn't know that when I was seeking that gift. I didn't know that. I didn't know what I'm sharing with you today. I didn't know that. And boy, I tell you that I labor hard for years. And there were times when he was all over me, but I just couldn't take it. I was looking for manifestations that I saw some people had when they received the gift, and I was looking for a manifestation, not for the gift, and missed the gift for years. Because I was just looking for a manifestation, and the manifestation didn't come. Now, what is a manifestation? It is when God shows up to fulfill his promise. That's a manifestation, is when it actually happens. And so for years, I didn't know. And see, that's the thing with ignorance. It will keep you from the good things that God has for you. Ignorance is the most dangerous thing in Christianity. It's not the devil. Don't you blame the devil for everything. And I'm not here to defend him. But the devil finds an open door in our area of ignorance. And ignorance is our greatest enemy. It's a lack of revelation. And so for years, I just went, boy, and I was yearning. I was yearning for this. Was the most important thing in my life. I felt at times I could not live any longer without receiving that gift. I had to have it. I had to have it. I knew it was mine. I just couldn't go and get it. I didn't understand faith. I thought that God was going to force it on me. He doesn't force anybody. He just comes and he says, well, come get it. Here it is. Come get it. And so one day in my desperation when I did just that, and I just went and I said, today is the day. Today is the day. I'm going to take that gift. And I don't care about people. And I don't care about, I am just too desperate to have this thing that Paul asked these people at Ephesians. I was just too desperate to care about people. And I just stood up. Everybody was sitting. And it was kind of a prayer meeting setting. And I just stood up and I started speaking in tongues in faith. It was just a step of faith. And it went on for a few minutes, and just suddenly, this thing that happened to these people happened to me. It was just as if that fountain that was inside of me, through the new birth, burst open. And rivers of living water just streamed out. And I just flowed in tongues for I don't know how long. It was the most glorious experience. You can never say no thank you to that gift. You can just never say, I don't think I need that. Well, God thinks so. That's why he gives you the gift, because he thinks you need it. Amen. He wants you to have it because he knows where it can take you. Boy, is that an amazing thing? It talks about speaking in tongues here. With these people, when the Holy Spirit came on them, they spoke in tongues. And that's, of course, a sign of the baptism in the Holy Spirit, is you speak in tongues. Maybe later we can talk a little more about that. But tongues, Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that when we speak in a tongue, we speak mysteries. That means the Holy Spirit's going where your mind just cannot go. God has just, he's just taking you way higher than your mind could ever go. And a mystery, as we know, means a hidden truth. So you're speaking truth to God that your mind hasn't accepted yet, that your mind cannot understand. You're speaking truth. You're praying things to God that your mind doesn't even understand. It is just too high. It's too big. It's too wonderful. Your mind is not there to, it can't go there. That's what happens when you're speaking tongues. And that's why if you receive the Holy Spirit, I would encourage you this morning, don't ever stop speaking in tongues. It connects you with the mysteries of God that are where, I believe what Paul talks about there, what eye has not seen and ear is not heard and hasn't come up in the heart of man. That's what you talk about when you're speaking tongues. As you go there where the heart of God is, the God who has all the wisdom, he knows the future better than we know the past. And you start praying about things that your mind doesn't even understand. And that's why Paul says, when I pray in a tongue, my mind is unfruitful. Boy, is that a good thing. If we can only ask what our minds understand, we are so limited. No wonder we sometimes live such struggling lives. If we would speak more in tongues, that's why Paul says, boy, if you look at his life, what he went through as a missionary, as an apostle, he got beat up how many times? Shipwrecked, thrown into prison, stoned, and left for dead. That's why Paul says, I speak in tongues more than any one of you. He had to. He had to. He had to. Boy, we'll do well if we would do the same. I have a little poem that I always put in my Bible. If I get a new Bible, that's the first thing I do. By Smith Wigglesworth. It says, my soul is filled with boundless love. Whilst gazing on the precious blood, I catch the rays of Jesus' face, transfixed in me the throne of grace. Wonders beyond the human mind, rushing into me a life divine. I feel the power of the Holy Dove and speaking tongues of things above. That's what tongues will do for you. It will help you speak of things above. How many of you know if you pray what's on your mind, you're going to focus on the things that you struggle with. If you're speaking tongues, you're going to focus on the things that will help you out of the struggles. Because our minds are so filled with sometimes just petty little things. Well, God is thinking big things for you. His plans for you are huge. They're high. They're wonderful. They're glorious. And he says, well, let's cut out your mind a little bit. Let's talk about this thing over here. You've got to speak his language. If you want to go where God wants to take you, you gotta speak His language. Is speaking of tongues for everybody? Of course, yes. God doesn't have blue-eyed children that He gives better gifts to some and less better to others. We're all equal in His eyes. Equally wonderful, I should add. Amen. Acts chapter 8. And verse 14. Philip was preaching in Samaria. Let's go to verse 4. Let's go to verse 4. We back up. Acts chapter 8, verse 4. Therefore, those who scattered went everywhere preaching the word. That is just the way God is, because Jesus told them, go into all the world and preach the gospel. They huddled around Jerusalem. They went nowhere. It was just too cozy. It was too wonderful. Let's hang together. Then somebody by the name of Saul showed up and put the fear into them and scattered them. Paul was persecuting the church, but somehow I have a feeling he was already working for God. He helped them do what Jesus told them to do. They went everywhere and preached the gospel. And so Philip ended up in Samaria. Verse 4, therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Verse 14. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Well, these people already received Jesus. They were already disciples. They saw miracles. Some of them experienced miracles. They were Christians. But when the people back home, the leaders heard, they received the word. They sent people down there specifically for this reason, that they might receive the Holy Spirit. That was a specific reason for their going down to Samaria, that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Verse 16, for as yet he had fallen on none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So they already heard the name, at least of the Holy Spirit, but they haven't received him yet. And they didn't ask. They didn't ask. Come on, people. If you don't ask, you don't receive. You gotta ask. Because if you don't ask, it looks like you don't want. You ask for what you want. So they didn't ask. They were probably too mesmerized with all the miracles that they saw. I don't know. Verse 17. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw, that's that sorcerer that was there, that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. He tried to buy that. Now, they saw. They saw something happen when hands were laid on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Something happened there. They saw. He knew. He knew something happened to these people. Now, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, folks will see that. And it's forget about the moment when you receive it. Just don't focus on that. Just focus on the gift. But down the road, people ought to see that something happened to you. Something happened. Boy, I tell you, I just understand that I could never do what I do without the Holy Spirit. That sometimes I am peppered with questions that I never thought about. But the Holy Spirit did. And He has answers. And all you have to do is open your mouth. That's all you have to do. Just open your mouth. He'll speak. He'll give you what to say. He'll give you what to say. And you won't speak your mind. Thank God. Because that's the quickest way to help anybody on the wrong direction. He will speak what God speaks. He'll speak what God speaks. He doesn't color things the way He wants. No, He speaks what God speaks. He just says what God says. Let's quickly go. We always quickly. John. I'll tell you which chapter. John chapter 16. John chapter 16. And verse 12. John 16 and verse 12. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Why could they not bear it then? Because they haven't received the Holy Spirit yet. That means they were just carnal people. They were not born again. The Holy Spirit wasn't given yet. There were some things that Jesus wanted to share with them, but they were not ready for it. Now, that's why we have the epistles in the Bible. After the Holy Spirit was given, the Holy Spirit moved people to write the book of Acts, to write all the beautiful epistles of Paul, with those deep revelations that we still try to fathom today. And James and Peter and the wonderful book of Hebrews came because the Holy Spirit came and opened our hearts and opened our minds so that we can understand what the Spirit wants to share with us. The very heart of God. Verse 13, however, when He, the Spirit of Truth, that's another name for Him, He has many names, the Spirit of Truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. He will guide you into all truth. He will not guide you into opinions. He will not guide you into practices of people and cultural things. He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. So when the Holy Spirit speaks, He speaks from the very heart of God. Whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He will tell you things to come. I know, because the Holy Spirit has come. I know that I know that I know. It won't be long before Jesus is back. He's telling us things to come. He's telling us, get ready. That day is coming. Get ready. He's telling us. We begin to sense that in our spirit. We begin to realize inside of us, things are being wrapped up. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. And boy, we need to get ready. Not just ready, but start looking forward to that. Don't say, oh my goodness. Oh no, I don't want that to happen. Well, look, you have two choices. It's either a cold grave or you're going to take a trip up heaven. I'll go for that one. But you're not going to hang around here forever. that's not going to happen. Don't think you're going to stay here forever and this year will be like next year and the year after and 20 years after. That's not going to be that way. Something's going to happen. And if Jesus doesn't come, then we might have to bury you. I don't look forward to that. I would rather see you stay alive till Jesus comes to get us all. And I know the Lord's desire is that everyone will be there. Amen. That as we sit here this morning, we'll just see each other and say, we're here. And we won't go and say, well, so-and-so is not here. Where is he? Where is she? I don't want that to be said. I don't want that sometimes, you know. We want everybody to be there. And that's why we have to speak the truth. And that's why we have to live the truth. That's why we have to fall in love with God and not the world. The world's passing away, the Bible says. But he who loves the Father will live forever. And that's where we need to position our love, that we fall in love with him. And if you along the way fell out of love with him and got sidetracked with issues, then that's why you're here this morning, because I would encourage you, rekindle that first love. Because time is short. Time is short. Rekindle, just make him the focal point of your love. We live in a broken world. I don't want to disappoint you. Things will never be ideal. Will never be ideal. But it, when we take our eyes off the little things that don't work out and focus our eyes on him, those things won't matter. They just won't matter. Okay, let's read on here. Verse 14, he will glorify me. That's what he will do. How will he do that? How will the Holy Spirit glorify Jesus? Through you. Through you. The only voice he has is yours. That's the only voice he has. Your hands are the only hands he has. Your feet are the only feet that he has. And he will use yours. That's how he will glorify Jesus. Now, that goes much more than singing along on a Sunday morning. It goes much more than that. So if you're not happy with the music, it just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. You don't really need music to worship. What you need is a heart that is yielded to worship him. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. He will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Whatever Jesus has, he will declare it to you. Because he wants you to have what Jesus had. He will declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Can you imagine the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives? That everything that the Father has, Jesus has, and he wants that to be declared to us, and that's what the Holy Spirit will do. It's amazing what the Holy Spirit will as you read the Bible and you're reading the Bible to receive from it what you will receive. It's amazing. You know, I started reading the Bible when I was 12 years old. And I still read the Bible and I'm still amazed at what I see. I'm still amazed. When he begins to lift things out, and he begins to declare to me. He opens it up so that I can see beyond the letters. I am still amazed at this book after all these years. You can never get enough. The Holy Spirit. He came. He came. Last text for this morning, Galatians. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Oh, verse 1, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? How did you receive the Holy Spirit? Did you obey the law? Did you work for it? Did you work for it? He says, did you work for it? Or did you receive him because somebody taught you faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? No. We can never be made perfect by the flesh. We've got to stay in the Spirit. Have you suffered so many things in vain? If indeed, it was in vain. Therefore, he who what? Supplies the Spirit to you. He who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? How many of you know that God wants to supply the Spirit to you? He has a good supply. And you don't have to work for it. Now, the works of the law, we see today that some people use the New Testament as a law. And they turn the New Testament into the New Testament is not a law. You can't use that to whip people and send them on a guilt trip. That's not what we receive there. Right? It's just the goodness of God. All the gifts of God are just purely from his goodness. It's just pure goodness. That's all it is. You don't have to earn anything. You can't earn it even if you try to. This is free. It's a gift. And he says that we receive it by the hearing of faith. The hearing of faith. Here is what the hearing of faith says this morning. That gift is yours. It's already there. All you need to do is come and get it. That's all you need to do. You come and get it. God wants to use you. And if you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, I always think of it like this. Years ago when we were married, we didn't have a lot of money. Especially when we had babies in the house and so on. And I had to drill two holes in a concrete post. I was going to put up a small gate there. And all I had was a hand drill. And it took me a whole day to drill those two holes. A whole day. Just cranking all day long, pushing hard. When I have an electric drill, I just go bzz, bzz. That's the difference. The power. The power is the difference. The power. I labored hard to drill those two holes. But when I got an electric drill, it goes bzz, bzz. And no labor at all. No labor at all. The power did it. The power just did it. That's why God wants you to have the gift. That's the reason why. Things become a lot easier. Things that you struggle with. Things you try to lay off and you can't. Things that you try to change and you can't. He will help you. He's called the helper. He's called the helper, the one that comes alongside to help you. He's the one that comes. And God wants to give that to every one of us. And you don't have to labor for it. It's ready, it's packaged. It doesn't come by UPS or the post office, because if it did, you'll still be waiting. We ordered some things long before Christmas, still hasn't arrived. God doesn't work that way. It's there. The moment you say, I'm here, it's there. All you have to do. And let me tell you, you have to take a step of faith. Because if he comes on you, you're going to speak in tongues. That's what's going to happen. And don't try to keep it back, because then you can't take it. If you zip your mouth, and that fountain wants to flow somewhere and it can't, it's just going to stop. You got to open it. Open the valve. Let it flow out. That's all you have to do, is take it by faith. How do I receive the Holy Spirit? I receive it by faith, by the hearing of faith. I act on my faith. That's how I receive it. I act on my faith. It's yours. It's yours. You don't have to work for it. It's yours. You don't have to qualify for it. It's not just for certain people. Apostle Peter said, it's for you. It is for you. Now this morning, I want to pray for us. And I want you to say this morning, I want that. I want that. You don't have to labor hard for 13 years like I did in ignorance, because nobody preached the hearing of faith to me. I worked hard and got nothing. But when I took a step of faith, I received. I received. And it's yours. So I want you to, let's all stand. We spoke along those lines years ago in Belgium. One of the sisters there, a new Christian in church, she was a little hesitant. People are scared of spiritual things. She wasn't sure. She went home to think about it. Then she called me one day, and she said, well, while I was washing the dishes here, that you spoke about happened to me. It happened. Well, it can happen to you while you drive your car. It can happen. It can happen this morning. It all depends when you come to take it. Amen. That's all. That's all. The moment you come to take it, God's going to give it to you right there. Are we going to do what these people did, the apostles did? They prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Now, if you received the Holy Spirit 20 years ago, 50 years ago, 120 years ago, you can receive fresh this morning. Fresh. This morning. It's yours. And it's just for the taking. It's just for the taking. You just go come get it. That's all. Open your heart. Open your mouth. It's got to go somewhere. It has to flow out somewhere. And so you need to open up by faith and just let it flow. That's all you have to do. That's what faith does. All right. Father, I thank you for this gift. The baptism, the immersion in the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, for tongues. And what it opens to us, the mysteries of God. Taking us where only you can take us. We soar with you in the high places, far above our troubles and just the issues of the day. You refresh us with your presence. And this morning we pray that once again you come and fall on your people. Come with a new touch. Father, I pray rivers of living water will flow out of your innermost being. The Holy Spirit will glorify Christ through us for this wonderful gift. Now come, let's raise our voices. We bless you, Lord. We bless you. We thank you. We come to receive this morning. We come to get it. We're here to get it, Lord. We're here to get it. We're here to get it. The gift is for everyone. The gift is for everyone. The gift is for everyone. You have high places to take us to. The gift is for everyone who wants it. The gift is for everyone who wants to take it. And come this morning, Lord. Come with your wonderful gift. And touch your people, we pray in Jesus' name.